spiritually. Those who have physical illness, just a whole lot of struggles going on in jobs and marriages, Lord, I just pray that you will meet each one of us here, that you will be our comfort, that you would bless us, encourage us, and Father, because we are focusing not on ourselves right now, but we want to focus on Jesus. So Father, enter into this time right now. Inhabit the praise of your people. Father, we love you, and we ask that you meet us here in this time of worship, in time of prayer, in time of hearing your word and fellowship. Father, we love you in Jesus' name.
Psalm 118, 1 through 9, the New Living Translation. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in the princes.
Let's stand. Let's give him thanks this morning.
Thanks to the Lord, our God, his love endures forever.
Forever.
some of us get weary in this world. And I just want to give words of encouragement from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 40, 28 to 31. Have you not heard? Have you not understood that the Lord is an everlasting God, the creator of all the earth? He never grows weary or weak. No one can measure the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the weak, who's that? Us. And strength to the powerless, who's that? Us. Even young, the youth, will even grow weak and tired, and young men will fail in exhilaration. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Just remember, even the young people we see around us, even they're going to get tired. But the Lord, those who put our trust in Him, we will soar above every storm. Amen?
Amen.
Rain forever.
Just out of breath today, and I don't know if it's just my lungs are going weak or the enemy's attacking. Maybe just a little fear right now, because you know, I just want to share just a few little verses the Lord laid on my heart this morning as Gloria and I were doing our devotion. And it's in Ephesians 5 when it tells us. That we should walk circumspectly. We should walk carefully in this world. You know, in the beginning of Ephesians 5, it talks about being imitators of God. You know, and as we navigate through life, there will be times when fear comes upon us. And we're just uncertain. And we see what happened in France. The threats that are coming here in Washington, it makes it very unsettling. And one of the encouraging words, the Lord gave me a bit an idea of IEDs. As we walk through this world, the enemy has planted minefields all over. And if we're casually walking about, partying, doing our own thing, and not imitating Christ, you know what? We're going to be, maybe lose a leg. Maybe lose an arm. Maybe our, she was sharing with me, Jen, how a friend was a point man in Afghanistan. And what happened is someone from behind said, hey, get me a bottle of water. And he took his eyes off what the minefield was right in front of him. And at that second, he lost his life and his others. You know, and it's a, help us to be careful how we're walking. The enemy is planned. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy our lives. So I encourage you this morning, focus. Times are evil. Times are short. Let us keep our eyes circumspectly, carefully, on Jesus. Okay? So with that said, there's a song here that when we get our eyes off, we can always turn back. And he has made us glad. When there's times of trouble and fear, he is our shield. He is our strength, our portion, our deliverer. He's a strong tower. And he is a very present help.
I'll say I'll
thank you that we still have freedom to worship. That we have, still have time, Father, in this world, where as freely the gospel allows us to preach, Lord, that we would be bold. In the book of Acts, Lord, your Holy Spirit fell upon them and gave them boldness. Father, fall upon us as we are given thanks in all circumstances, the scripture says. Father, that we can show the world that there is a difference between them and us. And that's Jesus. Give thanks with a grateful heart.
We thank you for watching over our families, Lord. You know you love our children even more than we do, Lord. We thank you for protecting them and guiding them. Give us the wisdom that we need to be good parents to them, Lord. And thank you for all you do for us.
Jesus, we thank you that you are so patient with us.
Yes.
You do not get discouraged. You just leave us and turn your back on us.
Thank you.
You are always there with your arms out.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for all of the past year, God, all that you have done in my life, God, and brought me back, God. I give a plan for my life, Lord, and I see it through, dear God. I'm just thankful for this church, God, and all who are in it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I want to thank you for taking us all from where we once were and for giving us the things that we needed in our life to become the people we are today in you, Father God. We also want to thank you for the things that you will do in the future, for loving us enough not to let us stay like this, but to want us to grow closer to you and more like you, Father God.
Father God, the world looks at this as a season of thanksgiving, and you say all things have a season. Lord, I pray that the season that we are grateful becomes a lifestyle.
Yes.
A lifestyle of an attitude of gratitude.
Yes.
Your amazingness and your word. Thank you for making us able to understand it and just find all those beautiful treasures that are in there for us. We thank you for accepting us into your family as adopted children.
Thank you for protecting us, Lord God. Sometimes we're so spoiled we don't even realize how much you're shielding us, Lord. So we want to stop and want to give you thanks for all the unseen protection that you give us, Lord, day by day, hour by hour, Lord God. Personally, in our families, Lord, thank you for that.
I want to thank you, Lord, for providing Tamil and a place to live.
Yes. From victory.
Yes.
And let us proclaim what God has already done, Father. Not fight for it. It's already been done.
Yes.
The blood of Christ. Yes. Help us to walk in that truth.
Yes.
As your word is going forth, Father, may it shed abroad in our heart to that we will grow in the grace and knowledge of you.
Yes.
So that when the enemy comes, we know how to fight him, whether close up or far away. Whether through artillery with big prayer and praise, or with your sword right up close. Father, anoint your servant this morning. And all God's children said,
Amen.
Well, all of November we've been celebrating and remembering the persecuted church around the globe. And so what we're going to do this morning, as we did last week, we saw the story of Padina, who was saved in Iran as she was about to kill herself as a witness to her God, which is the hopelessness to it, and then finding Jesus and Jesus healing her mom and saving her soul and saving her mom's soul and changing a life. And this next one is a guy, a pastor by the name of Suda, actually just a believer who ended up becoming a pastor, and just his short story about what happens. This is happening all over, and we're just going to show you guys a quick video on what's going on so that you can be aware. Sometimes we can be kind of myopic and not see all the stuff that's going on. And so we wanted to show you different parts of the world what's actually happening at this time.
Thank you.
Thanks, Richard.
Here we are celebrating the engagement of a young couple in our village. That is until this Christian returned. 4 days ago, he came into our village trying to convert us, telling everyone about his Jesus. We warned him not to come back, yet here he is.
ये बताता है भाई यहाँ हिंदू का काम है हिंदू का प्रचार होता है ये नहीं आएंगे और ये आएगा फिर आपको हमने देखा बैठा नहीं होगा हमने पूरा कोई नहीं होगा क्या कहा है आप यहाँ कोई भी प्रचार नहीं करेंगे नहीं करेंगे नहीं करेंगे
हमने की प्रभु यीशु का प्रचार हमारे गांव में ना करें लेकिन वो मना करने के बाद भी नहीं माना और हमने उसको बहुत मार दिया ये हमें नहीं मालूम हो रहा है कि वो जीवित है या कि मर चुका है
तो आप जाइए उसको देखिए उठिए उठिए जाइए आपने ऐसा काम क्यों किया लोग इनके साथ क्या करेंगे?
अगर इसका परमेश्वर सच्चा है, इसकी मदद अवश्य करेगा और हम इसे जाने देंगे।
Sutta did recover, and 4 days after leaving our village, he came back again. Now my wife and I follow Jesus, and Sutta is our pastor. When you pray for the persecuted, please remember to also pray for those who persecute. For us, it may be the only way we will see the love of God.
I want to start with a God story if you'd like to hear it. If you don't, I really didn't think about that. So I'm hoping that you do. This is just, God is so faithful and he's so cool. You know, when I was in Africa, I got this Bible. This is it's been rebound. You know, it's leather binding now. This is like a $7 Bible. There's no notes in it. Other than my own from the Lord, but it means a lot to me because God's spoken a lot to me over the years. And I remember I was praying for some people. They literally had to pull me away. When we were in this school, this college, we were praying over so many people, and they were weeping, and the truck was, they actually literally pulled me, because I didn't want to leave, because there were more people that needed to be prayed over, and prayed for, and spoken to, and anyway, as they were pulling me away, I didn't realize it at the time, but I had set my Bible down to pray over them. This is in Africa, somewhere in Africa. I honestly, to this day, I don't even know where we're at. Somewhere in Africa, in Uganda, or maybe Southern Sudan. Anyway, and so I remember being pulled away, and then I realized on our way back, when we were almost back into the city, I remembered that I had left my Bible. And my Bible is so precious to me, because again, it's everything that the Lord has spoken. I've written it. I've highlighted. Maybe you guys do that too. You know, you write those little things when God speaks something personally just to you, you know, impresses you with something. And man, I was like trying to be cool, you know, come back. But I was like tears in my eyes. I'm like, oh my God, I'll never see this again. There's no way. It's done. And a girl, actually, you know what? I think she's now married, it's so cool, to the pastor of the church in Kampala now. And because I saw a picture of her, she actually saw my Bible there, found it. She was used to be in a Muslim home, but she was raped by her overseers, whatever you want to call them, and as a lot of those girls are, and escaped, and she found my Bible and found us and brought it all the way back to the city on foot, found us, found me, and gave me this Bible back while I was still in Africa. Wow. And I think, Lord, you're so awesome. And so God was reminding me, you know, that, you know, and he did something again supernatural. And God has little unique ways of reminding us. We do a lot of stuff. Sometimes we forget. So after service, you know, if we have the boys, hey, boys, grab our Bibles, you know, put them in the car or whatever. Anyway, you know, so sometimes. So I don't know. The Bibles must have got put on the roof or on the bumper or somewhere like that. And so we didn't realize it. And so we get a call. This is such a God thing. So, you know, we're wondering where the Bibles are, and then we're realizing we can't find it. Wait, didn't we send you out with the Bibles? I got you out. And
And all of a sudden, we get a call from the guy. Remember the guy who blessed us, who did all that work? Mm-hmm. Took down all those trees, all the shrubbery back there. Remember, he just did all that work for free, the whole thing back there? He did so much work, actually, it's not all of it, but he did so much work of it for free, and he just wanted to bless our church. Well, anyway, he says, he calls us, he's like, you're not going to believe this, but I was somewhere past Lockwood Ridge on a side street somewhere, on a crossover street, and I found these Bibles laying in the middle of the road. And I got the Bibles, and it didn't have any names or in it, except that I noticed there was a sketching of what looked exactly like your church property. Because I worked on it. And I realized, wow, I wonder if it's someone from that church. And then I remembered I had Lisa's number, and so I would call you. I think
that's your Bible.
Your Bibles. I have your Bibles. 10 minutes away, days later, in the middle of the street, and it happens to be the same guy who just happened to know the property, came here. Is that God?
It's not a coincidence.
Totally God. And so we go over to his mailbox to get the Bibles, and sure enough, they're all ours. They're all there. Who does that but God?
I know.
And it just reminds me that, you know, that there's a scripture verse that says, God's word won't return void. It will accomplish the purpose that he set out for. You know, guys, we might not be a lot of things. We might not be fancy-schmancy. You know, there's not a lot of, you know, if you go to the men's group, you know what you're going to hear? An hour-long teaching on James. You're going to hear the word, because it won't return void. If you go to the women's group, you know what you're going to hear? The word. And they're now they're going through James. Obviously, they're... Obviously, the men just need to be careful. Okay, wait. If you go to the youth group, you know, you're going to have fun playing frisbee. You're going to eat some pizza, but you know what? You're going to hear an hour of the word. We just got done going through Philippians, right? I think. And you come here on Sunday. We're going through the book of Titus. You're going to hear the word because we know that it won't return void. It's going to come back. Now that could be days, weeks, months, years, but God's promises, His word, won't return void. And so we know every time we deposit that, God's seeds are being scattered. They're being placed. And we pray in good soil. Lord, let them be planted in Jesus' name. Let them be planted in Jesus' name. And then, as I'm studying at my office in Panera, at this outside table of Panera, this homeless guy, and I've never seen him before, and I'm kind of familiar with the homeless folks out there. They know me. And he comes up to me, and I didn't know him, and he said, can you help me? And of course, you know, we did. Gave him a bowl of soup and bread bowl and all that stuff for him. Older man. And then he looks, he said, what are you reading? And it looks like, and I said, I'm reading the Bible. He's like, sat there. He said, are you reading of Jesus? Now, I have noticed these little things. He said, of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I had to think about it for a minute, and I said, yes. Yes, I am. He's like, because you could read a lot about Jesus and not get anything. Mm-hmm. But when you read it, when you read the Word, are you reading of Jesus? Mm-hmm. The Word became flesh. The Word. Took the soup, he disappeared. But isn't that a good message and a good word for us this morning? And I think that's true for us when we go through the word, when we go through these things. Nothing fancy, no dog and pony show, but you are going to get the word every time you come. And God will accomplish the purposes. And so my trust is in him. And I think our trust is in him as well. A couple of announcements before we get started in the book of Titus. Barnabas Prison Ministry. If you guys are interested, there's some folks that have been saved in prison, and they're going to be in there probably the rest of their lives, many of them. George has picked out certain people that have come to know the Lord and are
following the Lord. There's some sheets back there on one of the tables. If you would like to adopt one of them, to write them or to talk with them, we just want to encourage you. You are welcome to do so. There's pictures of them and a little information sheet on each one of them if you'd like to pray and choose and write them an encouraging letter in the Lord. That's there for you. Also, Thanksgiving dinner, if anybody does not have a place to go, if you do, don't feel guilty or whatever. Go have fun with your family. Be a blessing. We're just meeting here with folks. If you don't have a place to go, we're going to be having a potluck. There's a sign-up sheet on one of the tables. You're welcome to come. I think there's about, I don't know, roughly 15, 20 people who are coming. And so if you want to come, you are welcome to. Just bring a dish. And you can even write down what dish you would want to bring. Hopefully a dish with food on it. And when is that?
Thursday.
That's Thanksgiving?
Yes.
I can do that.
What time?
And of course, the time everybody knows is?
1.
We come here at 1 and we eat at 3.
Okay, come at 1 and eat at 3. Okay, sounds good.
Come at 3.
We eat at 3 and come at 1.
Okay. All right. Also, folks have asked me, like last week's sermon, and so the last half a dozen sermons, yes, we do have on audio if you would like them. Actually, George has some copies here if you would like some of those audio sermons from the last 6 or 8 weeks.
I brought in 3 today that has everyone that I've recorded so far.
Awesome. Okay, good. So there's at least 6, 8 if you guys would like them. It's a gift, free, in Jesus' name. Okay, also prayer meetings here at 9 a.m. I saw a lot of people praying. I saw some new people praying. I love that. I was even wondering how many folks would be here. I literally had between 20 and 30 people saying, oh, we're going to be sick. We're going to be away. We're yeah, this, that, the other. The brother with the hip surgery, we need to pray for Ray. And then the mystery brother who had the knee surgery. I wouldn't mention his name. I said I wouldn't, but... So I don't want to say anything, but I'll just say randomly, Dave, it's great to see you, and we're so glad you're here. Just want to say that. So praise the Lord. So continue to pray for whoever that brother is, but I just wanted to welcome Dave. Okay. Also, you guys know the first Monday of each month is the 7 p.m. the Chronic Support Group called Carrie. If you'd like to go out and just share together, be together, pray together, again, I know Carrie wasn't here when I said this a month or two ago. Somebody came up to me and said, that group is such a blessing to me. And so I just want to invite you out if you're at all interested in that. Women's Bible study this week?
We don't have Bible study, but we have decorating the church tonight.
Okay.
So okay. Please come out tonight.
Yes. Well, do I have a choice?
No.
Okay.
Do you ever?
No.
We have hot chocolate.
Okay.
You want to come decorate, but...
Yeah, you mean the girls, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So.
But if you don't have a babysitter and you want to come out and you have a little boy,
yes. Okay.
Okay.
Or if you want to watch, since the girls are always going out, if you want to watch superhero cartoons with us, the balls, just... Okay, yes, Hannah.
This
Tuesday? Yes. This Tuesday. And if you need a ride, then just say the word and we'll get you there. Okay, also, there's no youth group this week, am I right? Okay, so, and the marriage group Bible study is just completed. Okay, that's not right. Kingdom Living is this week, right?
Sue's at house.
Yes, at Sue Berger's house. Kingdom Living discussion group is at Sue Berger's at 7 p.m. on Friday. Okay. Now, we're ordering some of these guys. We just wanted to, these are action packs for refugees. They're basically, we're ordering them for $7 each, and we can stuff them and fill them with, they've got a little list of approved stuff you put in there, shirts, you can put in multiple shirts in there, or a ball, or different things like that. You can put in a blanket, you can put in jackets, whatever. They've got a little list there. Just make sure, we're going to get them in here, we'll hand them out. If anybody wants to do it, we're going to send them over there. Some of them are going to be given to Christians. Some of them are going to be given
evangelically.
Thank you. Evangelically. And so what they're going to do is they're going to include, free, a Bible or a tract, or if it's for a kid, a Jesus thing, and we're going to give that away to Muslims who want it. They'll know as who want it. So they're very cautious. They've been doing this for many, many years. But just don't put anything, if you're going to put the shirts in there, put the pants, don't put like, you know, God bless America, I love Jesus, anything that would, because they'll just take them right out. Okay, so just make sure they're plain t-shirts or that type of thing. And so we're doing that. Also, you can buy Bibles at $5 each. We do something every November and December as a church. We do a lot of mission stuff. And so in years past, we've done Gospel for Asia. We're doing something different this year. But you can also buy Bibles going in underground, the underground church in North Korea and China. They're $5 a piece. If you'd like to do that, just write a check to Home Fellowship Church. Just make sure you put in the memo for Bibles to captive nations, or Bibles to North Korea, or Bibles to China.
You can do it online?
And you can do that online too, but what we're going to do is we're going to collect it all and then send a big group over there. So anyway.
Can you put cash in, or does that have to be a check?
No, you can put cash in as long as you mark it as for the Bibles. So yeah, okay. Absolutely. And just think about that. For $5 a piece, think how many Bibles you can send to people who are desperately wanting the Word of God underground. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. Absolutely.
So what better way? And you know what? Even do that. Think about that as a Christmas present for your kids. Get your kids involved. And don't just give them the money.
Right.
Make them work for it. Make them work for it. What a blessing. Somebody could get clothes. Maybe a lot of these refugees have nothing. You can give them clothes. Or you know what? Maybe they could get a Bible in their hands.
Is
there awesome.
Going to be a list that what goes
yes.
in the bag?
Yeah, we'll bring that out next week. Okay. Let's. We're in the book of Titus. Elijah, Justin, can you grab some of these Bibles right here?
Yeah.
And would you hand them up? Yes. Oh, yes. If anybody else is interested in building, we're building a fence over here along the side of the road here just to start. It's going to be kind of like a little fenced-in area for the playground. Like, it's the first step. We're going to be starting that on Monday. If anybody wants to come out and help join, I'm going to be, I know we're going to be here. It's we're doing it as a family day. We're going to be digging holes and laying posts. And so that's what we're doing. If anybody wants to join us, you are absolutely welcome to. We would love the help. And if you know what you're doing, we would really love that.
Yeah, I'll talk to that.
If you don't.
Find a fence. Darren.
It's going to be a 4-foot black chain link.
Chain link?
Chain link.
There's a
plain
cage.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, okay. You're raising your hand. Okay. So, Justin, Elijah, would you grab some Bibles, please? And then if anybody wants a Bible, just raise your hand, and Elijah or Justin will deliver one right to you. Okay, good. Back and back there. Fantastic. Okay. Let me sit down. We are in Titus. We are finishing up the verses in chapter 2. Give me just a second to get there. Booyah. Okay. Someone hit the lights for me too, Joe. Thanks.
Awesome.
All right. We were talking about last week. We finished most of chapter 2. And one of the things we talked about was in chapter 2, it's talking about, Titus, I want you to teach this to the young men. Titus, I want you to teach this to the young ladies. Titus, I want you to teach this to the older women. I want you to teach this to the older men. And then I want you to teach this to the workers, the servants, the slaves, those who are, we would equate it to those who work in a job. I want you to teach, this is how you're supposed to live. And he shared some things practically. And he said, this is what you're to teach them. Teach them not to purloin, not to steal. Teach them, you know, like workers, if you remember, not to take money, to take things from the job. Don't talk back to your bosses. Don't, you know, submit to them. Unless they're asking you to do something ungodly, I want you to submit to them. And I want you to do that all as a witness for Jesus. Because the world's not going to do that. The world's going to complain and steal and rip off, and it's all about self. I want you to be a witness for Jesus, right? Amen. And then in verse 10, at the end of it, it says, and I want you to do that so that in every way you will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. And that word attractive in Greek was kosmio, and that means, that word kosmio means to adorn, to ornament. So you're to do these things. You're to live a different way. You're to be godly at your work. You really don't work for your boss. You work for the Lord. Your name, I want you to be this way as a witness for him. so that you will adorn the teaching of God like an ornament. And I think I thought of my wife on our wedding day. I mean, I was going to say she was beautiful. You guys know what I'm saying. You know, she is beautiful. But on that particular day, when she came out in her wedding gown, it was so beautiful. And their earrings and this beautiful necklace. This just gem. I mean, it was gorgeous. I don't even know what it was, or it doesn't even matter. I mean, she just, you know, the nails, paint. I mean, she looked beautiful. She is beautiful already, but on that day, I was like, wow, you know, you're my heart. And when we obey the Word of God, when we're doing the things that God says, it's taking something and making it even more beautiful. That cosmia, to make the teachings of our Savior attractive, you know, it's like I mentioned that tree. You know, you've got, for a Christmas tree, we're at Christmas season, it's just basically a green triangle with a brown stump. Right?
Right.
But you start putting a little bit of tinsel on there. Now, don't tell me how bad Christmas trees are. Just hear the illustration. Okay. You start putting on some tinsel, right? Some garland around it. You know what I'm saying? Maybe some of you do that. You start putting some ornaments on it, right? You start putting the white lights, or maybe you get the colored lights. You put the beautiful star. We have a star that would spin around like a multicolored. It's beautiful. Honestly, this little triangle turned into something so beautiful. And when you obey the Word of God, people will start to see something different in you. And then they will say that makes it attractive and say, wow, what has he got? Everyone else is a jerk, but they're not. Everyone else is healing, but they're not. Everyone else is giving me fat talk, but they're not. What are some practical ways? So we talked about that. Tell me practical ways, okay, where the rubber meets the road. What are some practical ways you can do at work to make the Lord to be a good witness for Jesus? How about that? Let me just ask you. Some of you have had experience. Maybe you've managed. Some of you have worked somewhere. What have you noticed? What can you do? What can we do to be a good witness at work? So you're just asking. Rubber meets the road. What?
Stay calm.
What?
Calm.
Stay calm. Okay. I say stay home too. I'm like, well, that would work maybe for my case. Okay, so stay calm.
Yeah, don't get agitated with every single thing.
That's right.
Don't complain.
Don't flap the handle. Don't complain. Why is that such a big deal?
Because it just means that you're accepting what your fate is. You're not trying to kick against the goat.
Yeah, and you're trusting the Lord. Listen, if you don't want to work there, don't get me wrong, don't work there.
Right.
But quit your thumb sucking. Quit your whining. Do you ever have a whine? We don't have any whine kids. But hashtag the little one special. But anyway, but you know, if you ever had a kid whine, it is so annoying. It's like, oh my, stop it.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like. You don't that, and that's what they're used to. When I see somebody who doesn't, after a while you're like, good. What else? You were raising your hand.
It's worse with adults.
It is worse with adults, yes.
You're wanting adults.
Yes. Speaking of. No, Rebecca, go ahead.
You're going to get for that. Doing your personal stuff at home instead of at work. Like, that always drove me nuts. Like, we can't get anything done because you're always disappearing to do stuff that you should be doing at home.
Yes.
Well, I got to call this, I got to do that, I got to file my taxes. Do it at home.
Yes. Well, you're not getting paid a wage. Huh, go figure. You wouldn't think this would be... But now it's like everybody thinks like it's a perk. Okay, well, I just get to do this stuff at work. No, work. They're paying you. Go ahead, what else?
If somebody was persecuted at a job for sharing their faith and turned him into the boss. And about a month later, his father was having an operation, a quadruple bypass, and the guy said, I'll be praying for you. And it changed his whole confidence about the guy. Mm-hmm. Actually,
praying for your folks at work. What else?
When people speak to you, speak with gentleness. Like in my work, everybody has attitudes. They're nasty. They use foul language, and you can share Jesus just by not speaking that way. Always be available to listen and give godly advice, not the same advice that the world gives.
That's right.
right? It's totally different. Good. What else? Yeah.
When you get asked to do something and you just exceed their expectations.
Yes.
You know, like, you go that extra mile.
Yes. They're like, why are you doing that? You make us all look bad. But you know, you've heard that too. So,
yeah.
You know, you make the Lord look good.
Yeah.
Yes, somebody else raised their hand.
I was going to say the same, to go above and beyond.
Yeah.
But, you know, don't just say, well, that's not my job duty.
Yeah.
From my house.
Yeah. Good, what?
A couple things. Humility is one.
What do you mean? How do you mean that?
Well, even if you're better than someone, you don't have to act it.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
The more you are a servant to those, even if, again, even being a leader in a department or something like that, and still being a servant to the people that are with you or underneath you,
yes,
speaks volumes, because it means that you're not lording yourself over those people.
That's what they're used to.
Yeah. And respect. You know, just respectfully speaking to someone or treating someone respectfully, even if they're not being respectful to you. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is just helping others, noticing someone who needs something and going and assisting mm-hmm. them without being asked, but also understanding that that might not be your role.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like knowing how to balance that out, not to be everywhere you shouldn't be,
yes,
but to notice that, hey, I want to be the go-to guy for that person.
Yes. Good. What else, Gary?
Forgiving people who screw you over at work.
Yeah.
And then not being a gossip.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
That's good. Sue?
I don't know how to say this properly. I ran into a situation outside of work where somebody needed help. And I stopped, and they're like, well, it's under control. This is going to happen. And as I'm pulling away, something told me to pull over. So I pulled over, and I helped these people, not knowing that this man was a big deal in the nursing home or rehab.
Where you
were. You know, and so he asked my name and where I work, and I thought, and he said, I'm going to send a letter. And, you know, when somebody says that, you're like, yeah, right, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, 2 months later, I get called into the administrator's office, and she's reading me this letter of this guy saying what a nice person I am and how well they have trained me. And I'm thinking, well, I've been doing this for 25 years, but that's okay, you know. So I got recognized for that, because the way I am at work is the way I am at work. You know, so it's like with the way you are here.
And all that can be a witness for the Lord.
But to me, that sounds like treating everyone equally. You know, not treating, you know, the boss with more respect than the lowest employee. I mean, as humans, we all deserve the same respect.
And we treat everyone with respect.
Right.
Good.
Well, and everybody made a big deal, and I'm like, but if I saw the guy again, I probably wouldn't even know who he was. It was just a boss situation.
Praise
I pulled
Lord.
My car over, got out, and said, I want to help. And the situation went from here to here, you know, went from up here to here, like that. Because I was not threatening to this person, and, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And you know what? And here's one thing else. If you're ever in a situation like that, here's one thing. Just pray about topping it off, and maybe you did this too. Just tell them, I'll just receive it as a gift. I'll just receive it in Jesus' name. That way, not only have you done the right thing, but you've purposely directed all the attention back to the Lord,
right,
to give Him glory.
Right.
Good. What else? Anything else before we go on? Okay.
Sometimes not responding, just if someone says something rude to you or something, just to look at them and not respond to it.
So they're like, you want a piece of me?
Yeah.
Right.
their words are hanging there,
yeah,
and that gives them a chance to think about what they said, because that was the last thing said.
Right. Good. Any
else? This is painful. Asking for forgiveness will open us up. Nobody else does that. I mean, the world doesn't do that.
Never. Those are all good witnesses. That's right. And so that's right. It's how we make our Savior attractive.
I was going to say, in conjunction with that, is that we forget to tell people, thank you, you've done a good job,
right, yeah,
instead of bitch,
you
know.
Easy, Tiger. But yes, you're right.
About something, what you want to call, we forget to tell people done a good
job. Right.
Thank you for, you know, taking care of it.
Yes, absolutely. Instead of complaining, yes, you're telling them this purposely. How about that? Say thank you. You're welcome. Yes, absolutely.
Do you have a supervisor?
Yes.
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 Good. Yes. They're used to hearing the bad stuff. That's what I always say. I like to tell you the good thing. They're always like, really? Yeah, just, they get this nice, wow. Well, then it goes on to say, and then we talk about the grace of God, and verse 11, for the grace of God, and who is the grace of God? Jesus, that's right. God's riches at Christ's expense, that's the grace of God, has appeared to all men, not just the chosen frozen, but to all men. And it teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age as we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we talked about just that, the grace that we see in verse 11. Grace is in the past. It redeems us. If you're a Christian, you've given your life to Jesus Christ. That grace redeemed us. We talked about that. We talked about grace presently in verse 12, how it's teaching us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, godly lives. So we see that grace redeemed us in the past. It reforms us presently as we're living this life, as God's grace is working in us, working stuff out of us, working in us. And then we see that grace rewards us with the future, with that hope, as we can look forward to his coming in verse 13. And then it says, while we wait for the blessed hope, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that say? God, our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What does that tell you right there? What does it say?
Jesus is God.
Absolutely. Yeah, go to Colossians really quickly. It's just deity. It's the Word made flesh dwelt among us. I mean, this is... I'm sorry, all these were from last week. Just squeeze through there. Okay, go to Colossians chapter 1. A little bit to the left in your Bibles. Chapter 1, starting with verse 15. If you want to know what God looks like, I mean, if you want to know, I just want to know, what's God like, If he would just show us, he did, okay? Colossians chapter 1, would somebody read this for me, verse 15 to 19? Would somebody read for me? Okay, go ahead, Lord.
He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, is the end, that all things he may have preeminence.
Verse 19, read that too.
For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven.
That's good. That, in verse 15, when it says that he is, speaking of Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. That word in Greek there, if I remember correctly, is icon. Now, everybody has computers, right? Most of you people. Okay, you know what an icon is? Everybody know what an icon is?
Symbol.
Okay, I don't know how to make this new laser pointer work, George, so if I turn this off, you're going to cry, kill me. Okay, so if on my computer, this is the Microsoft Word program, okay, right? Mm-hmm. And you'll see this on my desktop, it's a little W. If I want to start my Microsoft Word, it's a picture, it's an image.
It's an avatar.
It's, you click on that, but that is, maybe this is a weak illustration, but that image, that icon, is that when I click that, the whole program opens up and starts. That's the image. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. It also says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, for in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. So, to me, that verse back in Titus is just speaking of the deity of Christ. And then it goes on to say, back in Titus chapter 2, verse 15, we didn't do this one, but these then are the things you should teach, encourage, and rebuke with all authority. and don't let anyone despise you. So there's the positives. Matthias, I want you to encourage and exhort people, but I also want you to rebuke them. Now, that's not the fun part, is it? No one likes that part. You know, I had talked to a few people this week and share hard things. And but that's part of what we need to do in love. And sometimes those things are painful. You know, there's a story, and honestly, I'm not really even sure that it's exactly true. I've heard it for many, many years, but I've looked it up, and I haven't seen exactly this. There's when I did the research, there's a story of, you know, how a shepherd will sometimes break the leg of a sheep to keep it close.
Yeah.
And I've heard that illustration a lot of time. I've not found anywhere that exact thing is what they do, because it's like, okay, that could be infection. We have animals that could, you know, but the premise I think we do find in Scripture, and there is something that's called hobbling, and so what folks do with animals or horses or sheep or goats like that, they won't like snap the leg in half, you know what I mean? But what they'll do is they'll tie a weight to it. They call it a brake, or they'll tether it together so it makes the limp, or they'll do a little tiny break just so that the animal will limp. And what that will do is, that shepherd, that in animal husbandry, it's called hobbling, but what they'll do is they'll keep that animal very close to the shepherd. And sometimes the hard word has to be spoken. Sometimes the rebuke has to happen. And sometimes the discipline has to come, although we have a loving God, right? Sometimes the discipline has to come, but he does this because he loves us. And so if that little lamb was continually running away, right? If that little lamb was continually, he's going to go off the edge. I'm not staying close to the shepherd. I'm going to run here. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to go there. Hey, you're going over there. That's by the wolves. So, you know what? I'm going to do that little break or do that little tether. And I'm going to carry that on so you can hear the heartbeat, so they can get used to the shepherd, hear the voice, and want to be always close to the shepherd. Sometimes the Lord has to do that. There's a scripture in Psalm, it's a little gem here in Psalm 51. Give me a second. Psalm 51. 51. Did I say Psalm 51?
Yeah.
Okay.
Almost 51 times.
yeah, you're kidding me. Let's try 6-8. It says this. It says, surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness, and let the bones you have crushed
rejoice.
Now, the Hebrew word for crushed is dekah, and that could mean broken. Like, it's the same word in verse 17 of that same psalm. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a contrite heart. So if you read the scriptures, read like Jeremiah 5:1-3, sometimes the Lord will do that to us just to keep him cool. Sometimes the Lord has to bring the rebuke or the discipline because he loves us. Not because he's mad at us, right? Because he loves us. All right. In Titus chapter 3. Can somebody read verses 1 and 2 for me? Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2.
Command the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceful and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. At one time we were distinguished.
That's good. We'll stop there and we'll just go over that. The first thing, you know, the first thing he says is to remind. You know what? Why is Titus saying remind them of these things? Why do we need to be reminded all the time?
Because we forget.
Because what?
Because we forget.
Yeah, that word just means bring back to mind. The Bible, I mean, if you want to look up or do a little word search for yourself, you could Somebody just look up for me. Jason, I'm going to ask you to do it because you got it electronically. 2 Peter 1:12. But if you can look it up for yourself, you can read it in Romans 15:15. You can read 1 Corinthians 4:17. You know, if you look in Luke chapter 24, when the women came and they were looking for Jesus, and the angel was there, and they're like, "Son, where is he? He's not here. The stone's rolled back." So he's took, and the angels are like, "Don't you remember what he said? He's going to die. We need to be reminded continually."
Yeah.
What does it say, that verse?
It's headed as prophecy of Scripture. It says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have."
Yes. Have you ever been taught something here that you've been taught before?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's because it's in Scripture. We do it proportionally. So when it's in Scripture, you're going to be reminded of it. I didn't write this. The Holy Spirit wrote this book. And so we're going to remind us of these things continually, over and over. We need it. This is, wait for that. Okay. This is like the learning pyramid. This is after 2 weeks. This is what people retain. If it's just me talking, you're going to retain 5% after 2 weeks. If we read it together, or you're reading it along with us, 10%. If I give you an audio video with it, you get 20%. If I do a demonstration, 30%. If we have discussion like we do here, we get 50%. Now we got to move up to practice doing and teaching others. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to go 75 to 90%. But did you know after a certain amount of time, you know what you retain, roughly? 7%. Yeah. 7%! So we need to be reminded of these things. Okay, so if you hear something you've heard before, we're just going through Scripture. God, He knows that we need to be reminded of these things, okay? It says, telling people, reminding people to be subject to rulers, authorities, and to be obedient and ready to do good. What, do we really have to be? But let me ask you these questions. Do we have to be subject? It just says, teach them to be.
We don't have to be.
Do we have to be subject? As Christians? No. As Christians?
Yes.
Yes, no? Some yes, some say no?
Absolutely. Yeah. Why else
it
would
he
say?
Says to be subject, so we
are. Well, it says to be subject. This verse, what? In this place. Okay, so some say yes, some say no.
Yes. Christ says yes.
As Christians, yes.
Look at Romans chapter 13. Okay, go back. So I want, you got to see what the word says. If you're a follower of Christ, man. Now, this isn't your doormat. Okay, so we're going to, this is not like you're Christian. I just let everybody wipe their feet up. There's no way, man. That's not what this is meaning. But again, we're to be an example. Okay, Romans chapter 13, Acts, Romans, Corinthians. It's to your left a little bit. Acts, Romans, give me a second.
Romans
1? Yes.
13.
Yes, 13. I think 1 through 2. I'll take just a shake of the cat's tail.
Yep.
Romans chapter 13. Now, I don't know what your translation says, but mine says everyone ought to think about. No, mine says everyone must submit himself to governing authorities. For there is no authority that which God has established. There is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. So listen, this is the government we have. I don't like all the rules. Let's just be blunt honest. I don't agree with all the decisions, especially with the president administration, you know. But, however, I'm going to submit to them. That means that Darren needs to reevaluate if I'm obeying these laws. Am I being subject to them? Okay. I'm driving down State Road 75, and I see a sign that says speed preference. 70. That's what I see in my mind. Speed idea. 70. What does it say? I got a lead foot, and one of the teens is afraid to drive with me because I go a little too fast. It's worth it. You know, we're going to submit ourselves to those. What about taxes? Yeah. Hey, I've heard a lot of Christians that say, we don't need to pay taxes. Yeah, let's rise up. We don't need to. Do we need to pay taxes?
Yes.
What? I heard Christians all over the place. They're saying they're standing firm. They're on TV.
They're not Christians.
Maybe they are, but what does the Bible say?
Render to Caesar what Caesar? There was a time when even Jesus, when he was in the temple preaching, and they brought him, listen to this now, they brought him a coin. They were trying to trap him. And they said, hey, tell me, is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? If Jesus said, yes, it was right to pay taxes, then the people would hate him. They said, no, it's not right to pay taxes. Then the Roman authorities would get him. So they thought they had him over the barrel, right? They trapped him. So Jesus said, hey, show me a coin. Okay? Jesus gave him a coin. I mean, somebody gave him a coin. And he says, whose image is on this coin? That's the Roman Caesar. Okay. Well, you know, guys, God says we're created in his image. So this little metal piece here that has his name stamped on it has Caesar's image. You give to Caesar what's Caesar's. But give to God what's God's. In other words, God formed you. He made you. The Bible says it's for a purpose. You're not just here to sit. I'm just going to say get fat, but I had a head. You know what I'm looking at? Anyway, I said, sit down, get fat, watch TV, do nothing, be a blob. He's got a purpose and a plan for you. He's given you life, breath, lungs, heart. Speak some, you can speak some, you can still hear, you can see, you can read the word. You can live for Christ. You've got hands and feet to love others, to do stuff. Whoa! Do it! But how about we jump down a few verses in Romans 13? Just the high point. That's good. It's right there. Okay, how about jumping down a few verses in Romans 13? 6 and 7, just in case you want a biblical, just flat out. You think that would be enough for folks, but no, there's tons of them that think you're not supposed to. And they don't. And they are disobeying God to their own judgment. What does 6 and 7 say, Rebecca?
6
and
7.
Yeah, Romans 13.
This is also why you pay taxes. For the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor.
That's pretty clear, don't you think, guys?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's clear. Should we pray for our leaders?
Yes.
Even leaders who are anti-Christian?
Exactly.
Yes. How did God establish them? I'm having a hard time with that.
Huh?
How did God establish these authorities?
Because he's in charge.
I'm not wrong. Sometimes, you know, those authorities, when I think about what happened, like, for example, in Israel, when he brought in the Assyrians, and he brought in the Babylon to govern them as judgment for them, because they rebelled continually against the Lord their God. And so, some might say, you're just getting what you deserve, in a sense. But, okay, what about prayer? What would you say to that? Where would you say to go? How do we know to pray for our leaders? How do I know you're telling me the truth? Anybody? 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3 says, back a couple of pages, it says, I urge you, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and those in authority, that we may live peaceful, godly lives in all godliness and holiness. When is it ever okay to disobey the government?
Yes.
It is? Yes.
Yes.
No?
Yes.
Yes. If it's against God, yes. Abortion is against God. Yes, definitely.
Okay. What is that? So when do we disobey God? Is that right or wrong?
But we have to be submissive.
What?
Okay. Yes, we disobey, but we still have to be submissive.
What does that mean?
Respectful about it, not talking bad.
Your face.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's going to be consequences to that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going to have to suffer those consequences, but we're going to have to realize that that decision has a cost, and that cost is worth it.
That's right.
Yes.
The Bible says also, have nothing to do with unfruitful works of darkness,
right,
but rather expose them. And so, in our government, the things that our government's doing, like this Supreme Court ruling that marriage can be between people that are of the same sex marriage, we need to let people know, no, that's wrong. That is against God's word, and that is not right. That is, God said no. Well, so, I mean, if you go along with it and you think in terms of, well, geez, if it's okay, I guess everybody has a right to be, do marriage and do, and if you're wishy-washy on subjects like that, okay, then there's not going to be a light. You're not going to expose the unfruitful works of darkness.
Right, but you're going to be doing it in a respectful way. Listen, when it comes, if, like, for example, if they told me, I can't preach the gospel. Well, okay, that's what the government says. We just read, I should submit. Not if that supersedes what God has said to me. You see what I'm saying? God said his word. I want you to preach the gospel. Take it to every creature on earth. That's what he told me to do. If it's contrary to his word, then you cannot submit to it.
That's right.
It's just wrong. And we have to hold the line because the world is always going to be going this way. And God's people are going to be going that way. But you have to do it in respect. I think of Daniel. Do you remember Daniel? The leader, the king of the land, Babylon, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego?
Yeah.
Do you remember that? Daniel chapter 3. Awesome story. Awesome story. You know, here they are. They're in a foreign land. They're being raised up as leaders. And so he makes this big statue. You guys probably know, most of you know the story. And he says, here's the leader of the known world at the time. I want you to all bow down before it. When you start playing the music, here's this huge statue of me. I want you to bow down and worship it. Well, okay. You know, and they weren't like, hey, no, we won't go. You know, they were, you know, inciting a riot. You know what I mean? They were just like, somebody's like, those three leaders aren't bowing down to your statue. What? And it says he got enraged, and he brought them before him. He said, when they bow down, you, when that starts again, that music, you bow down or I will throw you into the furnace, fire, alive. And I love in Daniel 3, it says this. This is such a cool bit of scripture. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, this is Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, listen, they didn't say, you know, anyway, they didn't say bad stuff. They just said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image you have set up. That's clear. And if you read in Acts chapter 5, you remember when they brought the disciples and said, hey, you can't preach Jesus anymore. You're making us guilty for this man's blood. You're preaching the gospel. You got to stop it. They told them. You have to stop doing it. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, they said to the rulers of the nation, the Sanhedrin, he says, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. So there are times where you're going to have to say no. Okay? All right. It says, and also be ready to do good. So we should be model citizens. Unfortunately, a lot of times we're not. Slander no one. That word is where we get our word blasphemes. The slander means to, like, purposely say something malicious to damage them. And I remember, anybody remember Gore Lieberman? Everybody remember them? It was when Bush was getting elected, they were running for president. Remember that whole situation? And the hanging chad or whatever. Anyway, I knew Catherine Harris. I would give her hugs at church we were going to. She no longer goes there. But I give her hugs, and she was a godly woman. She loved the Lord. And there was a decision to be made who's going to be president, this person who supported conservative values or Gore Lieberman. And she made that decision, and it was Bush at the time. Now, not the perfect president, I understand, but he supported more values, I would say, that I held to as a Christian. So at the time, and I thought, yeah! And then you remember what Gore and Lieberman were doing? They were going to, like, sue the government, And so I had this great idea. It was a good idea. It wasn't from the Lord. They had this little slogan called Gore Lieberman, you know, and it was this rising star, shooting star for the presidency. And so I had a technology company. I immediately started a website. I invested some cash, $1,000+, whatever, with a friend of mine at the time. We made these T-shirts. Within a couple of days, had the website up, and instead of Gore Lieberman with the shooting star, it said Sore Loserman. And it had the star going up, and I'm going, hilarious! We got it out there. We sent packages to centers. It was fantastic. Got the website going, orders with the shirts made. And then somebody said, well, aren't you slandering? What? No! What? You're calling him a loser, man.
Yeah, I don't think you
are. Yeah, there's... It's a great idea. I mean, the radio started catching on to it, TV, buttons.
I had the bumper stickers.
Did you really? And so what I did, this is a true story now, it was a fantastic idea, but then somebody at work said, aren't you doing what you said not, you're slandering him. So I basically, the other person was really mad, so I backed out of the whole thing. And I said, keep all the money. I've already invested in it. Keep all the shirts. Keep all the websites. It's yours. He wasn't convicted. That was okay. I was. And so I had to step out there. And I think he did his thing, and then other people saw it, and they did their thing. But anyway, we're to slander no one. We're to have a good witness amongst others. And it says we're to be peaceable and considerate and show true humility towards all men. Verse 3. Yeah, we've got a little bit more, but you'll be all right. Verse 3. Jason, would you read, or Monique, since you guys are over to my right? This is reading.
At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another.
Keep going.
But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So that, having been justified by His grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone.
Okay, here's a couple of things. Verse 3 says, at one time. The first thing, if you notice, he says we. He doesn't say you were foolish. He didn't say you lived it all. He said we did. That's a humility there. If you know what, if you want to preach the gospel, live a Christian life, the best thing you could ever do is understand that it's we. You're not superior. When you get more Bible knowledge, I've watched so many people get these fat, prideful, bloated heads, thinking that they're all this and that, and they look down upon those other little sinners. Bad, bad people. No, we're just like you. We're just like you. Apart from the grace of God, I'd be the worst of sinners. That's the truth. And it says, at one time. In other words, now I'm different. Amen. If God comes into your life, if the King of Kings and Lord of Lords gives you a supernatural birth, you will be changed. You will be changing into something different. When you get saved, He puts the Holy Spirit in you. That starts to change your life from the inside out. You're no longer cleaning yourself up from the outside in. And that washing of rebirth, that washing, so some people will use that saying that's you're saved by baptism, like a proof text, but that's not what that means. That washing does mean, it's a Greek word, which is palin. Palin is again, and Genesis is birth, and it means, again, birth, literally. Where it says washing of rebirth, rebirth means to be born again. And it says washing, it's that, when it says washing there, that group, that word is neutron, and that means like a complete bath. And the only other time that word's ever used is in Ephesians 5:26, when it talks about you're being washed with the water of the word. And so that's what, when you're washed
when you're born again, when, and I want you to think about this, when Jesus was explaining what being born again means, not from your mother's womb, but being born by the Spirit, when he explained that, who did he explain that to? Did he explain that in John chapter 3 to the worst prostitutes, to the worst sinners, to the thieves? Who did he?
Nicodemus.
To what? To a person, right. Nicodemus. He was one of the richest, most respected. He was a Pharisee or whatever. He was on the Sanhedrin at least. He was one of the biggest teachers in the land. He was one of the most, if you looked at him, you would say, no one's more spiritual than this guy. And you're saying this guy needs to be born again? In other words, we all need that. We all need to be born again. It's a new birth, a new life, a new direction.
Every day.
Every day. And it says, be careful, listen to this, and this is the last verse down here, I'm just going to be, and that renewal is just what God is doing in your heart once you have that Holy Spirit. If you're trying to do this from the outside, man, you're just going to be so frustrated. It's a supernatural work. If you're trying to be good and clean your life up, you're going to fail. I mean, I'm not trying to speak bad stuff about you. I'm glad you're trying to do that. But if you really, you're trying to put the cart before the horse, you're not going to get very far. Yes.
In the last part of that, it says regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Not by man, but by the Holy Spirit. Not of the Holy Spirit, by.
And what does that mean?
That means that he is the one that does the work. I don't care what kind of work man does, it ain't going to work. It's inside out, not outside in. And if we don't have him inside of us, we cannot understand anything about spiritual matters, which is what this is. It's a spiritual book.
That's right.
And we can't understand this without him inside of us explaining.
Amen. That's so true. And then the last part of that, and I'll just leave this last little bit. I just want to talk about this, but it says, I want you to stress these things. You know, you've been justified. Well, first he says, you've been justified through grace. You know, it's a gift. You guys, once you become adopted into God's family, born again, you're his kid. I mean, you have his righteousness. You're an heir to the kingdom of God, man. To the king. So it doesn't matter what station you are in life. You're now royalty, in a sense. You know what I'm saying? And it says, I want you, that last verse 8, says, this is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. They're profitable and excellent for everyone. And when I think about that good, I look at those like in 2 and 3, I see so many things worth saying. Look in chapter 2, verse 6, it says, in everything, set an example by doing what is good. In chapter 2, verse 14, the last part of that, of verse 14, says, man, you're a people that are his very own. You're to be eager to do what is good. In chapter 3, we just read, it says, be careful to devote yourself to doing what is good. In chapter 3, verse 14, it says, learn to devote yourself to doing what's good. So, I guess I would ask a couple questions. First, are you? You know what I'm saying? Are you eager to do good? Have you learned? Sometimes, I mean, let's just be honest, being good doesn't come naturally to me. Being a jerk, a self-centered, selfish jerk comes naturally to me. I'm really good at it. Really, I'd like to get an A+ in the school of self-centeredness.
Aces,
baby. But that's not what he's called me to. He wants me to be eager for good. So here's a couple questions I just want to throw out here that we can talk just for a few minutes about. Listen, as a Christian, and I wrote this down, as a Christian, since we're saved by grace, right? We just read earlier, we're saved by grace. It's not by works so that nobody can boast. It's a gift from God, right? So if we're saved by grace, is good works, is doing good, does it really matter or not if we're saved by grace? I mean, if we're saved by grace, does doing good really matter?
Yes. Yes.
Cool. I see heads shaking, but I'm not sure. I only have one solid yes.
Yes.
Hannah.
Yes.
Okay.
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 Can I tell you one?
You want to tell me why?
Yeah.
Oh, you go, girl.
Tell you why.
Doing good.
Do it.
Matter.
I want to hear.
I've actually, you know, experienced, you know, when you're not safe and you can still do good things. Like, I see it every day. But it doesn't matter how good you are if you don't have God and you're not doing good for Him. If you're just doing good for yourself. Because, I mean, when I wasn't doing good for God, you know, I was doing good so people could, you know, oh my gosh, you're an amazing person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's two different ways of
doing it for the Lord.
Doing it for the Lord or doing it for the world.
That's good. You know, there's a 2 Thessalonians 3:13, hold on a second, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, it says that in the last days, one of the things it says that people will not be lovers of the good.
Lovers of themselves.
And your translation might say something different, but not lovers of good. And so it's going to be darker and darker and darker. The more good you do, people aren't going to like it. They're going to think you have ulterior motives. I had one of the kids. I can't even tell you what he says. I don't even want to mention the word. But, you know, he just came to me and said, you know, one of the youth said, Pastor, you know, he's like, when you were first, like, talking to us and, you know, we thought your motives, I'll put it this way, were bad. I'll put it this way. And I said, what? He told me what he thought. I said, what? Are you kidding me? He said, well, no, because you're always doing these good things and these nice things, and you're always telling us you love us.
What?
We didn't know. And if you're not in the world, people don't understand always why you're doing this. They're like, okay, what's the kickback? What's the catch here? Come on. There's something I'm not seeing. No, I'm just doing it because I love the Lord. And I love you. And God's trying to reach out and talk to you. The world is not going to be lovers of good, so it's going to get darker. And so our hearts can become hardened, right? You cannot do it anymore, right? We cannot do it anymore because I'm so tired of it, right? I mean, it's easy to get that way, I think. Mm-hmm. But here's a couple of verses that I want us to look up because, you know, something that Hannah said was right on. You know, first, we want to do good because the Word tells us to do good. Okay? 2 Thessalonians 3:13. Turn back a couple of pages and let's read these few verses. Hang with me. Okay? 2 Thessalonians. We're to do good simply because God tells us to. What is 2 Thessalonians 3:13? Does anybody have the ESV or an NLT? Okay, would you read the ESV? Yeah.
For those who serve well and seek in the good standing for themselves and also great confidence in the faith that is in Jesus Christ.
That's 2 Thessalonians 3:13?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
I'm thinking, man, that's not right.
You're right.
I write these sometimes a lot earlier. I'm thinking, nope, not clicking.
Okay,
good.
I'm there now. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey what we say in this letter, take note that that person...
That's good enough. He's saying don't grow weary in doing because it's so easy to do. Look at Acts chapter 10, verse 38. It says, Jesus. We do good because the Word says to do good. We do good because Jesus set us an example. Acts chapter 10, 38 says, talking about Jesus, that He went around doing good. That's our example. It's Him. Right? Is that what Acts 10, 38, that right address?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He went around doing good. That's what He was all about. What glorified His Father. And not good in man's eyes, good in the eyes of His Father. That's what we're to be doing. And then it says, you know, Hannah mentioned this, is why we do good important? And I say, yes, too. God's concerned with the motives of our heart. Hannah was talking about this. I used to be good all the time. In fact, people thought better of me when I was unsaved a lot of times because I was such a liar and deceiver. I purposely did good things to make myself look better. I probably gave to 30, 40 charities, I gotta tell you. Wow, you're gonna get to heaven. I'd be thinking, oh yeah. People do good for different. Maybe they want to become. They don't want to come back as a cockroach or something. You know, they want to upgrade a little bit. You know, I want huge pectoral muscles when I come back. Whatever. You know, I mean, maybe there's a whole bunch of reasons. They're thinking they're working their way to God. They want to look good. They're waiting for the karma. If I'm good to you, I'm going to get back. I'm going to get right back. So I'm just really doing it for myself. It's all self, self, self. But Galatians. Chapter 5, is it? Verse 22 and 23? Or 6. Anyway, the fruit of a spirit-filled God life. Everybody remembers love? Okay, yeah, that's right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. And here's the thing. Here's why you do it. When you pull over and you help somebody, you do it in Jesus' name. When you encourage somebody, tell them, just receive it in Jesus' name. You let them know why you're doing this. It's not for yourself. It's for Jesus. And it's a fruit of the Spirit. If you don't see that in a life, well, there's definitely a problem. Fruit's something you see. And now let me ask you, is how we do good works important?
Yes, it is.
As a Christian,
if we do it begrudgingly, you know, where is God being glorified?
Yes. Have you ever asked? Those of you who had children, your kid to do something? They do it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, man, I wish I never could ask you. You know what I mean? Talk about not a blessing. Even if something that's good for them, you know, you don't tell me down the pipe. It's like, just so the how is important, right? As a Christian, listen. When I think about some of these things, I think turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. The how is actually extremely important as a Christian. Because yourself is going to want to take the praise. In other words, when someone says, thank you so much for helping with the cat, oh yes, you're so special. Oh, I didn't know. When Gary says, oh, what a blessing you're. Oh, thank you for cooking this wonderful barbecue chicken. It was such an awesome thing at the men's Bible study. Well, yeah, thank you. It was nothing. Just claimed a couple hours and it was awesome. Don't worry about it. It's awesome. Anyway, how we do things is important. And
you're killing me.
And it's getting darker and darker. And so, two things come to mind. When that happens, and that oppression comes in, that darkness comes in, two things happen. One is, I just want to stop. I don't want to do it anymore. In the flesh, because I'm not getting the response I want. See, if you're doing it, you know how to know if you're doing good for God? If they respond positively or negatively, it's for God anyway. If you're like, well, I'm not happy, why should I do it? Which we can all get that way, come on, right? That means something needs to happen in our own hearts. But listen, as this darkness has come in, they're not going to be lovers of good. You have to realize that the oppression's going to get more and more. And Hannah, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say, because I wrote it down, and it says God is against the proud.
Yes, he is against the proud. That's right, he's against the proud. But what does that verse say, Hannah? Matthew chapter 5, 14 to 17 is, I think, what it is? Right, city on a hill, is that what it is? Matthew chapter 5, yes. 14, yeah, through 16 or 17, that way.
Right, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be.
Wait, you are the light of the world. Who's he talking to?
You.
He's talking to me. Well, I'm a pastor, so Yeah, it's not the light of the world, yeah.
Talking to me too.
Oh, he's talking to you too? Anna?
No.
You?
No.
Yes. If you're here, a born again believer, if you if you bow your knee to the King of Kings, he's Savior and Lord. Okay?
Yes.
Or he's not. Savior, everybody wants the fire insurance policy, right? I want to be saved, I just don't want you to be Lord. No, if you bow that knee, he's Savior and Lord. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all.
Amen.
Okay? So when you choose to bend that knee, then that's when the glorifying of our Father, you become that light, that city on a hill. Keep reading.
Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it in its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. And
what does that mean?
Where'd it go?
What does that mean? What do you think that means? Read it again.
Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house.
What does that mean, it gives light to everyone in the house? What is that saying? That others are going to notice
it.
They're going to see it. Listen, folks. This was a great, super great illustration on Tuesday night, either last week or a couple weeks ago with the men's Bible study, but George, if you could make that go away for a second. Just make it a black screen, or make it a black screen, if you would.
Oh, the thing.
So, thank you. So now, if you notice that light was shining right before, wasn't it? But you notice when we took and darkened the light a little bit, what do you notice? It shines brighter, right?
Yeah.
Listen, we're to shine in such a way that glorifies our Father in heaven. That's how we're to shine. Now, I want you to think about this. You know, and before I, this last illustration, I want to read this verse in Galatians, because some of you are tired of doing good. You need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. To fill you to overflowing, because you're tired. You're weary. But listen, God is faithful. It says this in Galatians chapter 6. You're welcome to turn there if you want. But Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 through 10. God says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. Don't worry about the darkness coming in. A man's going to reap what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature he's going to reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. Listen to this next verse. This is God talking to you, at least he's talking to me. He says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest. If what? If we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us what? Do good to how many people? Just those of all people, especially to those who belong to the house of God or to the family of believers. Listen, folks, the darker it gets, the more your lights can shine. Ask the Lord for refilling of the Spirit, because we leak, right? Because the world's wicked and evil, and it's going to suck everything out of you. Isn't that true? You want to do that? Wicked, evil. I want you to think about this thing. Listen to this. Think about this. Don't worry about the screen. Don't worry about that stuff. Just shut the computer down if you have to, George. I want you just to think about this. You're to be, the darker it gets. Have you ever been on a cruise? Have you ever been out, like, in the country? I mean, in the country, and you look up at the stars? It is pitch black. You never knew there were so many stars a-shining. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you're doing good and you don't get to see the fruit of your labor immediately. That's why God is reminding you not to give up. Because I saw a guy last night came to me, his whole family hugged me, and he reminded me. I forgot about it. He goes, remember when you did this? This was a decade ago. He said, we were out at this place and you were doing this thing, and his whole family, I do remember it, but he's like, that was the turning point in my spiritual walk with the Lord. Right there. And I'm thinking, so long ago, I remember like maybe 30 seconds of a weekend we spent, you know what I mean? That was the turning point for me. That was that. And here he is, a decade or decade and a half later, saying thank you. And that's what folks will say to you. You are to do good in the Lord's eyes. Philippians chapter 2, I want you to picture this. The darker it gets, when you see those stars up in the heavens, you, Philippians 2 says, you're to shine like stars in the heavens. And when that happens, the darker it is, the more those little points of light are going to shine. You are going to, that's what Philippians 2 says. Philippians 2, 14, 16. You are to shine like stars in the heaven and to show that light to other people. That is who you are. You are the light of the world, a city on a hill that is not supposed to be hidden. So, in Jesus' name, my reminder to you, my reminder to me, is to not grow weary in doing good. Just the opposite. Be eager to do good. Even more so, learn to do good, because it's not going to come naturally to you. And lastly, to do it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to the glory of God, our Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, I just want to say thank you, Lord, that you are a good God, that you are capable of doing more than we could ever even ask for or imagine, Lord. Lord, I pray and I say thank you that you reminded of us these things today, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would personally, by your Holy Spirit, plant seeds, first of salvation, for those who don't know you here, Lord God, that they would just say to you, Lord God, that they would admit that they're a sinner, that they can't be good enough to get to you. Their best works are like filthy rags compared to your holiness, Lord. But yet, you died on the cross for our sins, shed your blood, took the punishment, lived the perfect life in place of us, so that anyone who would come to us could have eternal life if he wanted to, Lord, if she wanted to. You're giving them a do-over, a rebirth. They could be born again. Just like a baby, brand spanking new today. Today is the day of salvation. I pray that they would say, Lord, to you, Lord, I don't even know what all this, I want to be saved. I want to be an heir to the kingdom. I want to be your kid. I want to live for you. I want to have the Holy Spirit and take these shackles of sin that enslave me and be a servant of yours for the rest of my days. And to glorify you and to do good for you, Lord God, who made me. Lord, I pray for those who know you here today, Lord, that you would remind them, Lord God, to do good, to be eager to do good with the right heart and right motives, to that you would spur us on to love and good deeds, Lord God. And we would do so all in your name, to your glory, Lord God. Whether at work, at home, at school, that we would be purposeful, purposeful teenagers, purposeful in doing good deeds to honor our Heavenly Father, purposeful husbands, purposeful wives, purposeful single people, purposeful grandmas, purposeful people at work to give glory to our Father in heaven. That you would stir us up, you would plant these things that we've learned today down deep, Lord God. And that would bear fruit, Lord. Fruit that will last. That's what we're asking you to do, Lord. By your Holy Spirit. We love you and bless you. And thank you today, in Jesus, right now, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. Happy Thanksgiving. Glory to God.
I have no idea.
Hey, what's my camera?